Atlanta Falcons radio network analyst and former Falcons QB Dave Archer joining us here on the show. Good morning, Dave.
Hi, Tiff. Yeah, I've brushed my teeth like 100 times. I can't get that taste out of my mouth for losing the Seahawks. So maybe you guys can help me a little bit.
That's probably a good way to sum it up.
Yeah, that makes two of us, Arch. I woke up in a bad mood because I had to watch highlights of what happened. But, I mean, what do you make of a game like yesterday? Because it just felt like you basically couldn't get out of your own way to win. You know, you had penalties that stumped it. Then you made mental errors. I mean, what do you do to get past a game where it just feels like everything went wrong for you?
Well, getting past it is probably the easiest thing to do. Getting past it, you get to go to work again today. You got to go out, you look at the tape, you try to, you know, look through some of the stuff that maybe was correctable, some of the stuff that were just untimely screw-ups, and then you move on. That's the beauty of it. You get another one this week. So I think moving past it is probably the easiest thing to do. It's, you know, trying to solve what happened in the game is probably a little bit more of concerning. The flatness with which they came out and played with. There wasn't any energy in the building. There wasn't any energy on the sideline. And Kirk said it in the interview. I talked to him afterward. I said, you know, what happens in that situation? He said, we got to provide our own energy. And so there's lessons learned from that, even though this is a team that we've kind of been excited about how they've come together as a unit and how they've kind of melded together and been able to win some of these close games. There's going to be moments like this. Mike and I have both played in games where you come out and you just don't feel your best and you hope that someone around you picks you up. And as it turned out, it seemed like everybody was kind of in that doldrum state where nobody was picking anybody up. And this is what happens. You get your ass handed to you.
Yeah, well, you talk about brushing your teeth and getting over this one. At least you had Iowa State on Saturday to celebrate. Man, I didn't even have that. I had to deal with the freaking Bama loss on Saturday.
I hear you.
And then watch what
you.
I watched yesterday. Dave, I had the question yesterday at some point during the postgame show. What was the worst part? What was the worst part of the Falcons' loss yesterday? And honestly, I had trouble answering that because at times the running game looked electric. I thought Bijan looked as good as he had running the ball since he's been in a Falcons uniform. There were untimely penalties, untimely busted assignments. They made some plays. I couldn't honestly answer it. It just seemed like everything kind of took its turn throughout the game at being something that let you down.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Mike. It seemed like just as when you thought that, you know, maybe you could put your finger on some of the three turnovers. Was it the 9 penalties? Some of those penalties were untimely that extended drives. You got off the field on third down, and yet here's a roughing the passer penalty or an illegal use of hands or whatever. That extends a drive that allows them to continue the drive, either eat clock or put points on the board. I think probably the thing that I would point to were the miscues. And those are the ones that are the befuddling ones. And those are the ones that, going back to Bo's question, that you go in today and you say, can we fix those? And I think a lot of them are fixable. Kirk's fumble, that's one where he's got to eat the football. I mean, he's trying to do too much there. I think you said that in the postgame on his throw to Kyle, trying to push the ball down the field. You know, knowing you're down, you're trying to make a play. I felt like the fumble, the Mafe strip sack that was scooped and scored, I thought that he was trying to do too much there. That's just not something he could do to get out of the pocket. Got to eat the football and take that. You know, the ball goes right through Drake's hands and intercepted. I mean, how many times have we seen Drake, you know, go up and catch that football with those strong hands? That was something that was screwy. How about the blown coverage on the Metcalf touchdown at the end of the half?
Dagger.
You're playing cover two, and I don't know why Simmons is so wide. There's nobody threatening the sideline. There was no vertical threat along the sideline, so Simmons can cheat more towards the middle of the field. That's where AJ expected him to be, and he also was expecting Landman to run with the vertical through the middle. Everybody blew their assignment, you know, and so those are the ones that kind of jump up to me as far as answering. Maybe piece of your question is to what was the most disturbing piece of it? It was probably the miscues. I didn't think we had that many blown assignments in the five previous games.
Well, if we can maybe talk about some of the positives in this one, not many, I know, but Bijan and the way he was running the football, just why is it coming together for him this season?
Well, he's learning the game, Tiff. You know, it's just a matter of what you can get away with in college that you can't get away with in the pros. I mean, his ability to, you know, trust what's going on up front, trust the blocking schemes, trust his tracks, and knowing what he can do. And then it's just his natural ability, letting him, you know, he's not trying to play within a box, he's now turning it loose. He's being the Bijan Robinson that you saw on tape when you saw him at Texas. I think that's something that happens to young players, is they're trying to play within the confines of your offense. They're trying to do the things the coaches want them to do at the pro level. And at some point, you want him to be the guy you saw on tape and the guy you went and drafted. And I think that's where Bijan is now, is he's now comfortable in this game. He's comfortable on an NFL field, and now he's turning it loose. And you're seeing why Atlanta went and drafted him eighth overall. He's a top five running back in the National Football League. And then he's sprinkling in Tyler Algier, who comes in, and Tyler was nothing less than spectacular yesterday when he got his five carries too. He ran through people like he normally does. So that 1-2 punch at running back is certainly a positive. I thought the offensive line coming off and blocking. I think there were a number of moments there where I thought the O-line did a pretty good job of giving Kirk time to go through some of his reads. Now, there were three sacks there, and some of it might have been Kirk hanging on the ball a little bit too long. Some of it we collapsed a little bit in the pass protection. But I think those are certainly things that you hang your hat on. In these kind of games, it's hard to find the positive, Tiff. But you're right. Bijan Robinson is certainly one of those glowing moments.
No, on Arch, on this show, it's always the offensive line's fault.
Here we
it's
go.
Accountability for them.
Arch, better tell this man I will come across his table at his butt.
I will say, if we, I don't want to talk positives, but I think a trend that we're starting to see, because I think we should talk about everything that happened, but one of the trends I'm starting to see is this run defense is starting to tighten up a little bit. Early in the game, they weren't very good, but then they tightened up and only allowed 103 yards on 26 carries. It feels like the run defense is starting to progress a little bit, Arch. I know the pass rush is still not there, but what are you seeing up front on pass rush and run defense?
Yeah, I would agree with you, Bo. I think that you got the misfit in the run game on the Walker touchdown run. It looked like Caden Ellis was trying to he picked the wrong gap. I think he was coming on a pressure. He's coming on a run dog, and I thought Landman was late scraping over to fill that C gap. And so when Ellis decided to take the B gap, then a good play by Walker and his vision to bounce into that next gap over. That's where Landman's supposed to be, or Jesse Bates rocking down from safety to fit against the run. So I think the only thing that's hurting them in the run game right now as they progress, and I agree with you, they are progressing, is some of their fits. I think they're misfitting the run in a few places, and that's creating some of the creases. We talked about last week, Carolina, they rushed for 115, 120 yards in the game, but I thought most of it came like on one drive, or they got like 40 yards on one drive. So if you can start to kind of dress that up and stop missing those moments, then I think that number comes down to under 100 yards. If you get them down around 90 yards rushing, that limits a team in the run game. Pass rush, I thought that you had a lot of chances. I mean, you were around Geno Smith a ton. You got him on the ground once. James Smith Williams came around the edge and just power rushed and got him, put him on the ground. But this inability to finish right at the point when you got the quarterback in trouble is a little bit disturbing, and I think that they'll continue to work at it. You need to be there to be able to get the sack. So they're getting there, but they're not finishing. I thought Ebikadi was solid again, but you got a lot out of Grady. There was a lot of stunts that they ran, ET stunts, where they got somebody clean coming towards the quarterback. Unfortunately, you knocked him to the ground a couple of times. You got a couple of penalties for it, and so I thought there was a progress there, but just still not enough. You're not finishing the play and getting him on the ground.
Yeah, finishing up with Falcons analyst Dave Archer. Dave, I want to go back to that for just a minute. And I kind of feel like in a lot of ways, maybe I'm running out of excuses. It's probably not a good way to put it. But we talked a little bit about the style of quarterback through the first three games, or maybe how your defense is playing things over the last few weeks. I felt like this was the game for the pass rush. Like we talked about it in pregame, Michael Jarrell was the third, fourth string right tackle that was being put in. Had never started a game in the NFL before. I'm like, oh, they're about to go off. And then you get home a little bit, but I still feel like Matthew Judon has not really arrived on the scene. I'm having trouble figuring out why. Then you add in the injuries that you seem to have gotten recently, Lorenzo Carter, obviously, James Smith Williams during the game. What does the immediate future look like for this group, and how can they begin to affect things in a positive manner down in and down out, and not really look at it and say, well, the scheme is this, the scheme is that? How can we get home, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, you know as well as I do, Mike, it's going to be, what efforts can you double up if you're that individual? You got to look inside yourself individually. Judon, is he giving everything he can on every play? And I think he's getting double teamed a ton. He's getting I think there's a number of times where they're chip blocking him and they're getting an extra set of eyes over to him sometimes. But ultimately, it's going to be on guys up front and their effort to get there. Jimmy Lake's trying to dial up the pressures, and we're playing some zone pressure behind it. We're playing some man coverage behind it. Some of it's working. Sometimes you're getting there and you're making the quarterback throw the ball away. I thought Geno Smith, there were, four or five times in the game, Mike, where he had to throw the football away. Now, one of them, I think you got a roughing the passer call, and he was just trying to throw the ball away. So I think you just continue to grind at it and push to try to get better at it. I don't think there's a magic pill. Is there a guy out there you could go get? Trade deadline coming up here in a couple weeks. I guess you can continue to scan that. But those guys aren't just walking the street. They're going to come in and all of a sudden have 10 sacks for you. So you're going to have to do it with this group, and this group's going to have to, you know, look inside themselves when they get in the room together and say, hey, what can we do more or do better to get home? Because you got the guys you're going to have during the season. Those are the guys you're going to have to go to work.
I told you, Arch, we'll just trade a couple of sevens and, you know, D'Angelo Malone, and we'll pick
here
up
we
whoever
go.
We want. Anybody, whoever we want. Doesn't matter.
Wow.
Yeah, I've heard we can get Julius Peppers for a seventh rounder. So that's what's on the market.
There's
right
a
now.
Chance you can. Might not take that much.
Yeah, he's got the yellow jacket on. I don't think he can move around very well.
Dave, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys. See y'all.